You're listening to Women's Voices from Dayton Correctional Institution on WYSO. To create this series, women in the prison learned to use audio equipment and interviewed each other during weekly classes, all in one room together. Today we meet Lana Williams, who's been inside Ohio prisons for 16 years. She traces her story back to her childhood. Lana is interviewed by her good friend, Tyra Patterson.
I could say, you know, growing up in Chicago, Illinois, in what they call, quote-unquote, the projects, you know, it's pretty rough. You know, I saw in real life in color pimps, prostitutes, drug dealers, drug users. My mom, she loved, early in the morning, she turned on the radio, getting ready for work, getting ready for us to go to school. And back in the day, you know, they had these, we had speakers and albums. She would play albums and put this speaker in our little project apartment complex window and let the little speaker blare for everybody else to hear, and we would be dancing, and you know, so we had to literally like just make, my mom just literally made ourselves have good moments, you know, because most of the time it wasn't a good moment in that environment. So I went to school in Chinatown. And back in them days, you know, Chinese didn't like the blacks and the blacks didn't like the Chinese. But I had to go to school in Chinatown. So therefore, every day at 2:30, me and my older sister and a few more of our friends, you know, we would brace ourselves because we would literally have to run out of the school building and run all the way through Chinatown to get back across the expressway back to the projects, because we were chased by the Chinese gangs. So, this was my life, like, you know, day in and day out.
In that environment, when you were a child, seeing that you were around gangs and surrounded by negativity, were you ever in a gang?
Yes, I was. I would say when I was maybe about 12, 13, I got lost, you know, into that. And a lot of my friends, you know, they were in gangs. To me, it was like, you know, another family, you know. They looked out for each other, you know, looked out for each other, took care of each other. You know, if somebody messed with one, you had to mess with the whole 20, 30, 40 of them, and, you know. And I have to say, back then, that was intriguing to me. Like, you know, I thought that was what's up. Like I said, when I initially got into the gang, it was all love, so I thought, you know. And when I fell, when I say fell, I mean when I fell victim to drugs, I understand that I hurt them in a way, but I felt like we're supposed to take care of each other. They should have took care of me in that aspect, but instead, when I messed up their money or I messed up their dope, they beat me, you know. They jumped on me, and it got to a point where I got beat so bad that I could have died. But, you know, through the grace of God, I'm still here. And my family, my biological family came together and said, that's not your family. We're your family, and you are going to Columbus, Ohio with your grandmother. Just try to start over.
Did you start over?
I tried. Lord knows I tried. I got a job. Was back in church, you know, staying at home with my grandmother, helping her out, you know, because she was up in age. And honestly, she had one of my children, and I was helping her with my child, you know, and I was on the right track. But I learned also that, you know, you can go to Timbuktu trying to get away from drugs. Drugs are in every city, every state, every neighborhood. If you want it, if your body got an itch for it, you can find it. And I learned that when I moved to Columbus, Ohio, got a little itch for it one day, you know, right around the corner. And from there, you know, my life kind of spiraled out of control again.
So you're here in DCI in prison. Lana, from my understanding, which is a touchy subject for anyone that knows you, because so many people love you. You have life without parole. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Juana Williams, interviewed by Tyra Patterson. In part two of her story, she talks about life in prison and what she's learned.
What do you do with your time in here?
In the beginning, I would have to say, I kind of got into all of the wrong things. I clicked up with a lot of people. I had a lot of, like, an entourage of people that I clicked up with who I felt like were my friends. And so I left from the streets like that and came into prison like that, more than just a group of people around me. And it was nothing but chaos all the time. Who said, she said, they said, you know. And as I got older in here, I learned that I need to start kind of, you know, picking people off and, you know, and choosing who's good for me, you know, who's good for me.
What is the most significant thing that you have learned in your time of incarceration?
You know, at some point, I'm going to be let down. I'm going to be let down. But I don't have to hold on to that. Because I've let my own family down. I've let my children down, and that is the way I look at it. So even today, when things happen, or when I'm disappointed, or when I'm angered for that moment, you know, it comes and it goes, because I look to it like who I've let down. I let my father in heaven down. I feel like, you know, I should have been a better person. And although people tell me, you know, this was your life, he had your life mapped out, I don't, you know, I have my own belief in that. I don't think he really wanted me to be on drugs and be in gangs and do the things that I've done or commit the crime that I committed to wind up in prison for the rest of my life. I don't believe in that. I don't. But, you know I have disappointed a lot of people. So when people disappoint me, just like my grandmother forgives me, my mother forgives me, my own children forgives me, I forgive and I keep it going. It's okay, you know.
How many children do you have?
I have four. I have two daughters and I have two sons. My daughters are the older.
You speak a lot about passion when you talk about your grandma and your kids and your family. If you had a second chance, what would you do? What would you change? Who would you be?
What would I change? The first thing I would definitely change, if I could turn back the hands of time, is be a mom. Because I stripped all of my children from that, you know, and I know that, you know, they don't disrespect me, or, you know, they've never shared no actual, like, resentment or verbally or anything, but I know in the back of their mind that they hold some resentment because of that. You know, who wants to grow up and can't even say that, you know, my mama coming to my game, my mama coming to pick my report card up? None of my children had that for me, and honestly, I was not a good mom. And you can only say so much. You can only, you know, say so much. I mean, you know, in a visiting room for a couple hours, you know, and then it's like your heart breaks when they walk out, when you have to watch them walk out that door, because, you know, you're like, I failed them, but they can still turn around and say, Ma, I love you.
That's Lana Williams, serving a life sentence at Dayton Correctional Institution. She and interviewer Tyra Patterson participated in WYSO's Community Voices class at the women's prison this winter. For WYSO, I'm Lewis Wallace.